This is a Carlisle ValueCast, brought to you by the Carlisle Group. ValueCast brings you insights from our One Carlisle Network, providing analysis, data, and observations to help you navigate the global economy and top-of-mind issues in news. The Carlisle Group. Invest wisely. Create value.
Greetings and welcome to Carlisle ValueCast. Thank you for joining us for what should be a fascinating discussion about diversity and inclusion with three people who are leaders in the space. First, we have Nancy Sims, president of Twigo Foundation. Next is Dave Marchick, head of Carlisle's Global External Affairs team, who recently ended a five-year stint as chairman of Twigo. And last is Tanaka Mashashwe, a vice president on Carlisle's industrial and transportation team and a member of our African American Employee Resources Group. Welcome, Nancy, Dave, and Tanaka.
Thank you.
Let's start with a level-setting question. So in one sentence, what does diversity and inclusion mean to each of you? And let's start with Nancy.
Diversity and inclusion for me is welcoming a breadth of human difference and how you harness those differences to achieve greater impact and contribution of a team or an organization.
Dave?
To me, it is creating opportunity for people who historically have not had the same opportunity as others, and that's in particular women and people of color in the United States.
And Tanaka?
Coming together to focus on increasing the number of underrepresented minorities within an organization to improve diversity of thought and thus improve outcomes for a firm or its investors.
Nancy, you are the head of Twigo, so tell us about your organization and then give us a little overview of how you perceive diversity and inclusion in corporate America today.
So Twigo's work is nearing 30 years. We were established by the work of the late Bob Twigo and Sue Twigo to address the lack of diverse leaders within the finance sector, to Tanaka's point, to try to dispel the notion that talent didn't exist and to be able to provide that talent with career management support and sort of an entree into the industry. We are rooted in fellowship, an MBA program that now has supported more than 1,300 individuals across the country. But we evolved over time to really move to the agenda of leadership. I think that's in keeping with the career trajectory of our fellows to be a solution-based partner to the finance industry, to be able to introduce programs that address diversity across not just employment, but also board diversity, opportunities for minority business, and as well women in leadership. As far as where diversity is today, I think the industry is in a variety of stages of development. There's considerable attention on recruitment, which is important in terms of increasing pipeline for talent and the opportunity for firms to meet great individuals with aspirations for careers. But at the same time, I think organizations who have been in the diversity and inclusion space for many years are shifting their focus more to the concerns around long-term retention and advancement. That's really the inclusion piece. And that requires a strategic look at the organizational culture, management dynamics, and performance benchmarks that make the difference and certainly influence someone's ability to be valued in a company, to stimulate loyalty and longevity.
How would you characterize the rate of change in terms of how corporate America is truly embracing diversity and inclusion?
I would say that if I rate the change per se, it is a time when there is much more robust conversation. The numbers themselves are not as dynamic as we would like them to be. It remains a work in progress. In the last 3 to 4 years, we've seen a lot of movement with respect to women in the industry across all cultures, but the opportunity to advance that particular interest group has been a little faster than it has been for those who represent ethnic minorities and underrepresented talent.
Dave, how did you first learn about Twigo and why did Carlisle get involved?
I learned about Twigo when I first started at Carlisle about 10 years ago because we had hired a number of Twigo fellows. The reason that I was introduced to Nancy was because supporting organizations like Twigo in advancing the cause of creating more diverse opportunities has been something that's been a passion of mine since I was in college. I think it stems a lot from my family. My dad, when he applied to college in the 1950s, was denied admission to a number of great schools because he was Jewish. And that lesson was always kind of seared into my mind. When I was in college and grad school, when I was a lawyer at a law firm, it's always been a passion of mine to create more opportunities for women and people of color. And I thought that Carlisle could have a big role in helping advance Twigo's mission, which is to change the face of finance.
So how did the Twigo post-MBA fellowship come to be?
Well, we looked at our data, and we looked at the people we were hiring. We realized that the pool of candidates who were presented to us, which mainly came from the investment banks, was not sufficiently diverse. About 20 to 25% of the candidates that came to us in our traditional hiring pool were diverse. Part of that was because we traditionally require people to have private equity experience in order to apply to Carlisle. But if you don't have private equity experience, you couldn't get a job at Carlisle. And so we created this fellowship to try to create an opportunity or a pipeline for people that were exceptional, but may not have had private equity experience.
Tanaka, you were our first post-MBA fellow. Tell us a little bit about the structure of the program and what your experience was like.
I like to say I was the guinea pig for the program as the first fellow. I did investment banking before business school, so I wasn't an associate at a private equity firm. I didn't have private equity experience. I sort of lucked out that David, Nancy, and the Twigo Foundation created such an opportunity. And so the way it works is I came in post-business school. I joined the automotive and transportation group before it joined with the industrial group and came in for 6 months and did investing, so worked on the live deal here. I then moved to work for an aerospace and defense company called Sequa, where I did a pricing project for Chromalloy to see the portfolio company side of things. And then I spent 3 months at CalPERS to understand the LP side of how they choose to invest in the different GPs. So for me, it was invaluable even now as I'm dealing with my portfolio companies or as everybody gets pulled into fundraising. Having those experiences I found to be extremely helpful.
So when did we start the fellowship, and then how long have you been at Carlisle now?
So I joined and was the first fellow summer of 2010 after graduating business school, so I've now been here about 7 years.
Dave, you became the chairman of Twigo around a little over 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
What was that experience like? What were some of the highlights? And to whom did you pass the baton?
It was a wonderful experience, and it was an honor to support Nancy and the entire team and the program. We made a lot of change and a lot of progress in the 5 years. We strengthened the board. I think we strengthened the finances of the organization. When I started, it was just after the financial crisis, and Twigo was challenged financially, and now it's in very good shape financially, thanks to Nancy's leadership. The third thing is we expanded the number of fellows. Traditionally, there would be 50 to 55 incoming fellows per year, and I think in this year's class, we have more than 90. Finding someone to take your role as chairman is probably the most important job of any chairman, and I wanted to find someone that would actually do better than I would, that could take the organization to new heights, and I found someone who I think is very extraordinary named Mark McComb, who's one of the top people at BlackRock. He has a passion for these issues, and BlackRock's obviously the largest financial institution in the world. Having the power of BlackRock behind Twigo, I think, will help the organization. So I'm very pleased with Mark's leadership.
Can you share an experience with us during your chairmanship of maybe a student or a fellow you met who touched your heart in some way or got you excited about what you were really doing there and what the core mission of Twigo is?
I would say the person is sitting next to me, Tanaka. As he said, he couldn't even apply to Carlisle to be a senior associate because he didn't have private equity experience. So we wouldn't even consider him but for this fellowship. And since coming to Carlisle, he's been promoted. He has been a key participant in one of the most profitable deals Carlisle's ever done. He recently played a much more important role now that he's a VP on a very large industrial chemicals business we invested in, which is one of the largest investments we've ever made. And Tanaka's just a star. The sky's the limit for him. It just gives me incredible pride to see how well he's done and the fact that he's going to be a leader at Carlisle for many years to come, and he would never have had the opportunity to come to Carlisle but for Twigo.
Nancy, how do you measure your impact in terms of the data, but also are there more intangible measures that you can turn to or share with us?
Well, there are a couple of ways. First, I mentioned earlier, there are 1,300 individuals who are representative of the Twigo organization. Several of them are actually institutional investors who are operating on behalf of public pension funds, endowments and foundations, and investment consultants who are guiding those institutional investors in terms of their investment product and strategy. Additionally, we have many who are in senior leadership within prominent financial institutions. And as David mentioned, this large class of entering MBAs is significant. It's significant also to the private equity industry because of this group, there's roughly 22% of them that have expressed interest in private equity, and as well those who are looking to take the first step through investment banking with an eventual path into PE, that percentage is 28%. So part of our goal in the measure is to see how many year over year are interested in finance that we can bring into our program and be able to present a platform of introduction to wonderful and interested organizations like Carlisle.
So among the many fellows that you've recruited and worked with in your tenure as president, is there anyone who stands out who's perhaps shared with you a story or something about their family history that really drove home just how important this mandate is that Twigo has?
One thing I can say is I find that many Twigo fellows are extremely humble and don't often share those real stories that I think really grip the heart as to how far their journey has come. But I do know that 2 years ago at our annual gala, there were two individuals who told stories, one in particular, who shared with the audience that as he stood at the podium to speak about his success and his leadership, that in fact he was standing in the very room that his mother had cleaned as a housekeeper. That gives you an indication that while there are often assumptions about the success that individuals have achieved, many of them started a course in life that was not presumed to get them to Harvard.
So Dave and Tanaka, so yes, we're very involved with the Twigo program, which we're excited about, and that's a program and a fellowship that Carlisle helped create. So what else are we doing in the diversity and inclusion space?
We're very active. We have significant initiatives across the firm, starting with the top. So our founders have made it clear that diversity is a priority. We have a diversity committee. We're very active in trying to enhance the pipeline of people we recruit. So, for example, in our U.S. private equity business, in the last 4 years, we've averaged more than 50% women or people of color of our incoming associate class. That's out of a pool that ranges in the 20 percentage points. In the 2018 class, two-thirds of the incoming classes are women or people of color. We also are very active in efforts to retain good people. We have employee resources groups, African-American, LGBT, et cetera, which not only sends a signal from the top of the organization that we want and embrace a diverse workforce, but also allows people of color, women, and other groups to have fora in which they can talk about issues, talk about challenges, seek support, et cetera. We have a lot of efforts, a lot of activity, but I would say nobody involved is satisfied with where we are. We are still far away from where we need to be.
Tanaka?
To add a little more color, I think the Diversity and Inclusion Council, which started a few years ago, David sits on it. I'm probably the most junior person sitting on it. You have Alan Hull, chaired by Ian Fujiyama. So really senior people just looking to make Carlisle a better place and more diverse. But then I also think about the employee resource groups. I led the African-American ERG for a while, and I think of it as the grassroots for more junior folks. That's where issues that come up in different groups, whether it's on the investing side or the back office, where people feel more comfortable to bring those to the table, and then those issues can be brought to the Diversity and Inclusion Council. I think that's been really helpful. And then just wanted to also touch on the, from the U.S. bio perspective, the associate recruiting, and as David mentioned, 50% diverse for our associate class, and it's been that way for a few years, and that comes from great leadership top-down with Alan, Pete, and Sandra making that a requirement, and that takes a lot of focus and discipline as the teams go out and recruit because, as David mentioned before, 25% of the pool we're looking at is diverse, and we're trying to get to 50%, and obviously we want the top tier of that 25%, and so it's a lot of effort to make that happen, but that 50% then goes off to business school, and then when we're recruiting for senior associate, more partner track positions, we have that diverse pool of smart Carlisle-trained talent that we can then pull from, and that's how you really move the numbers at the senior position.
And whether we're successful, I think we won't know for 10, 15 years. Because if you take a person like Tanaka, he's a star. He's done fantastic deals. He started here in 2010, and it's 2017 now. He's a VP. The test will be, do people that we have recruited make it to VP, make it to principal, make it to managing director, and ultimately make it to partner? And that we won't know for 10, 15 years. So it is a long-term effort, which is glacially slow and frustratingly slow, but we're doing everything we can to try to make progress.
Back to Tanaka. So do you see any kind of generational shifts taking place? You talked about the African-American ERGs being kind of the grassroots. So here, where millennials, for example, more so than previous generations, kind of get diversity and inclusion, or are people just people?
I think to some extent, people are just people. And what I mean by that is, I think no matter how you grow up, how open-minded you think you are, you actually are, I think everyone likely has unconscious bias that may affect how they view the world and may affect hiring. So I think people always need to manage that, no matter what generation you are. But I do agree that millennials are probably more used to diversity and acceptance. And I think there's this whole idea of the slow arc of the moral universe bending towards justice, right? Society is getting better slowly. And so I think growing up in that sort of better society, you're used to diversity. So that's helpful. But the problem is things are moving at a slow pace, right, to change diversity. It actually doesn't really matter as much. So I think the grassroots is important. But, you know, millennials joining Carlisle helps, but really you need senior folks who are focused on diversity. And so I'm not calling David old, but he's not a millennial. And you need people like David, and you need other partners at Carlisle who are really going to be focused on that and pushing it down.
So Nancy, let's look at the future. So we've talked about kind of this glacial pace, but it seems like the arc is heading in the right direction, as Tanaka noted. So how do you see the future for diversity and inclusion in general? And then in particular, what role is Twego playing in advancing the cause?
It's a great opportunity to pick up on Tanaka's comments. One of the successes I would add to David's leadership was this year's gala. We were honored to have the former First Lady, Michelle Obama, and Van Jones to the stage. And one of the things that Van said is that we haven't seen the end of our work. There's much more to be done. And I think that that's the actual point for Twego and what David responded to in terms of we're not satisfied and there's more that can be discussed and acted upon. I think the finance industry is in an inflection point right now. When we think about millennials and the impact of technology, certainly on organizations, this is also a great opportunity to think about today's young professional and exactly what it is that they're looking for, and can firms innovate to be able to figure out how to appeal to this next generation so that they can come in and really see that marriage between their interests and the opportunities as well as the expectations of jobs that exist within the finance industry. It requires, I think, some rethinking of traditional practices and really an opportunity to have more dialogue with that generation to figure out who's out there that's the right candidate for a firm. Talent has choices today, which is why we were so excited to see 90-plus students who were interested in finance in this incoming class. To know that we, as an organization that does go out and promote careers in finance, we are starting to shift our messages that talk about impact, that talk about the opportunities to help not just come into an organization that's diverse, but to help bring that diversity to the organization. That's important. And at the same time, a lot more of our work is anchored around conversations with firms. One thing that we have seen is an increase in the numbers of organizations that have reached out to Twigo to talk about how do I begin a diversity and inclusion effort. And what I have appreciated has been their honesty to really talk about tough topics, the anxiety, the resistance, the concerns about how to implement, and allowing us to really work through those topics and figure out what are the right first steps that they should take. So I do think that Twigo's role, again, continues to evolve. We will always anchor our program through the fellowship, but the most important piece is for us to also work on the other side of the equation and to assist the industry in making it more welcoming and more inclusive.
Now we're going to do a lightning round. So I've got three questions, and I'd like each of you to answer them. What's one thing you've seen in recent months that shows there's still much work to be done in the D&I space? Nancy?
I would say the articles of this week were sobering and a reminder that there is as much effort to erode and dismantle the good work of diversity when it comes to issues that challenge equal access to education, and as well the unfortunate statistics that were reported regarding the decline of Black executives on Wall Street.
Every meeting I go to reminds me that more needs to be done.
The general political dialogue, and it doesn't really matter what side you're on, but just how divided everybody is, and it's sort of an us versus them, and that sort of reminds me that there's a lot of work to be done.
Second question is, what gives you hope?
Exchanges like this and many others to suggest that there is a tenacity there to continue to discuss, to devise, and to collectively figure out ways to bring this effort to life in many more organizations than it is today.
What gives me hope is people like Nancy and Tanaka that are, in Nancy's case, dedicating their life. She was a prominent financial executive before she took on this mission, dedicating their life to the cause. And people like Tanaka, who wouldn't have had an opportunity to come to Carlisle, and since coming to Carlisle, has just crushed it.
The crusher.
I was actually going to mention the last Twigo Gala, Dave's last hurrah as the chairman. It was an amazing event hearing Michelle Obama speak, and a lot of money was raised. And when you feel the vibe of people all sort of rowing in the same direction, trying to improve diversity, that's great. But obviously this dialogue, and I think sponsorship's very important, and you can see David likes to sing my praises whether I'm in the room and not in the room, and I think that's important for everybody to have, and it's not just me, but all the Twigo fellows. David's there for them, and I think Diversity Council, everyone's pushing and trying to get Carlisle to be a better place, so all of those sort of situations, you're just trying to make more of those situations happen, and that gives me hope.
So third question is, what is one thing that listeners to this podcast can do to foster diversity and inclusion?
First is to understand that diversity is distinct from inclusion. And I would encourage more firms to take a look at the inclusive piece and to figure out and examine practices and the overall environment and culture that may actually dismantle great opportunities for individuals to thrive and to have the longevity that is actually a desired goal of the organization. The programs that we've heard from so many organizations around mentoring and unconscious bias training and employee resource groups are each components of a much bigger system to bring change in this area. And ultimately, what this is about is an individual's life. Sometimes we lose sight of that by our efforts to build programs that are addressing large groups of people rather than really taking a look at the experience of the individual. To some extent, I'd like us to relax on this topic from the standpoint of it is about human relationships. It is about understanding what can and cannot be achieved and being honest about it. and at the same time still keeping yourself engaged in the conversation and the learning around how, in fact, we can bring more people in and create a sense of community. One of the analogies that we've used is that you could host a very large dance, but how many individuals do you actually ask to dance? And that's really the distinction between diversity, the numbers, and the inclusive piece.
Dave?
The one thing that I would encourage people to do is to try to make a difference one individual at a time. That this effort, this mission, is really about change, and you only make change one person, one organization, one at a time. And it is a long process. But if you can make that change, it has a huge impact and it gives you enormous psychological satisfaction. I think it's very important in this conversation to ensure that these efforts do not mean compromising excellence. In fact, when we hired Tanaka, I remember David Rubenstein, Alan Holt, and the entire group of people that was involved in launching this, including Nancy. We basically said, unless we hire people that are going to be great, the effort would fail. One year, we had a pool of candidates that we didn't love. And I called Nancy and I said, you know, I'm just not sure that there's a candidate here that is going to succeed. And Nancy said, don't hire someone. It's worse to hire someone and have that person not succeed than to not hire someone. To me, this effort has to be synonymous with excellence.
Tanaka.
I think sometimes diversity and inclusion and trying to change numbers or change an organization can feel overwhelming. So I would just recommend folks should start just at the most micro level they can. So whether it's your group and just thinking about how your group recruits and whether you can do more diversity or your fund or thinking about have you lost talent recently and why may that be and how can we help retain folks so they stay. I think just trying to start on a small basis, and if everybody does that over time, organizations will change.
Nancy, Dave, and Tanaka, thanks for giving us a lot to think about regarding diversity and inclusion. Thanks for your leadership. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on Carlisle ValueCast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. For more information, go to our website at www.carlisle.com. This has been a Carlisle ValueCast podcast.